We're grooving, we're grooving. It's the weekend. You guys know what time it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. That is yours truly, Eddie Gritter III, a.k.a. EG3, host of the NASCAR Podcast, where you know where I talk about the Cape World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in NASCAR, folks. And obviously, early this week, I've already talked about the trucks. They're off this weekend, and I'm recording on this Saturday morning, May 15th, 2021. A couple hours away from activity up north. The Monster Mile this weekend, the Xfinity and Cup Series will be racing this weekend. Obviously, Cup will be tomorrow. And yes, this will be a little weird because this will be out tomorrow prior to the Cup race there up north at Dover. We'll get to the recap here in a little bit. This is going to be a shortened show here because of the fact that I've already recorded the Truck Series. So, got that already in the bank. And if you have not checked out the latest edition of that podcast, go back and download it, listen to it before you listen to this one. And then, of course, last Sunday, there was the Darlington episode, which included LeVar Scott as well. That was an awesome interview that they did with him as well. And a couple more interviews are coming up down the pipe here on the podcast. Looking forward to getting those recorded and getting those out. I'll have more on that information next week as well, as I'll be going on vacation here in a couple weeks as well. So, but I'll still do a recap show possibly before leaving the state, actually, here, the MHK in Manhattan, Kansas, before I get started. Congratulations to, this is kind of a off the train notes, but had to get this in here. Congratulations to those that are graduating this week, wherever you might be at. That includes Kansas State University. Shout out KSU. Also, Manhattan High here in town, the MHK, where I reside at, or of course I do read a podcast as well. So obviously it's graduation weekend, a lot's going on. So appreciate y'all for listening to the podcast, and give a shout out to those kids / students or whatever you want to call it, because they've worked their butt off, especially during a difficult time like this pandemic. And again, we're still on the backside of it, so definitely give even your loved ones, if they're graduating this weekend, a big hug and congratulations to them. So I wanted to sneak that in there before going down the line here. Off to the trucks racing next week at COTA. Yeah, that's been a lot of attention to that track right there in Austin, Circuit of Americas, a.k.a. COTA. But we got to finish business. Excuse me. Ooh, excuse me. While I'm recording on this a little bit of a nice, little chilly Saturday morning here in town. A little damp as it's getting that close to summertime. It's on the backside. So, you know, we're... it's been raining. It's going to continue to rain, actually, on and off throughout the rest of the weekend, at least here in town. Obviously, we're at that point where we're getting a weird rain system here through this weekend, through the middle of next week, this upcoming week. So a little bit of weather analysis there. I have not, be honest with y'all, I have not checked the weather at Dover. So I'm flying at the seat of my pants a little bit on that, but I'm not going to take a big swing at that. I am going to take a big swing at Darlington Xfinity Series race from last weekend at Darlington, where Justin Allgaier did not have the best car in the field, but yet again, right there in the mix, throwback weekend for the Xfinity and Cup Series, taking the victory there over there in the Xfinity Series. I had my note up here, and I'm going to switch to that as well. But before that, obviously, there's a lot of disappointment. The fact that Fox, and shame on them for not showing Dale Earnhardt Jr. and what he was leading the feud with. Obviously, he was one of the seniors' old race cars, the Chevrolet Nova, obviously, leading pace in the field a little bit, the green, and apparently fought. Well, I did not. Well, I was at home at the time, so obviously I didn't see it. But apparently everybody else didn't see it because, boy, bad job on Fox's part there on doing that. I bet you NBC would have shown that. So, you know, hey, I got to throw a jab at them. But yeah, disappointment on their part there, just hearing some of the comments, or at least what some people told me anyways, they didn't show the whole car there. Disappointment on that end, but Dale Earnhardt should be disappointed on this part anyways. JRM finished 1-2. Josh Berry had led late in this race, but Justin Allgaier carrying one of the seniors' paint schemes, the Daytona 500 paint scheme, went the victory lane there. But this has been just our guys' game. And obviously, this will be out tomorrow, so you guys are already going to know, weather pending. I'll throw that in there. Who won this race today at Dover. So you're going to know that information when this podcast rolls out tomorrow morning. But Justin Allgaier's game, man, he gets better and better. That's how you want it. I mean, in theory, you want to unload fast. You want to be better, start off fast, right? But when you're racing, you want to get better, or at least work on your car, get better and better as it counts. And Justin Allgaier, we saw this at Atlanta, ran the top five, most of the afternoon, and then all of a sudden led, of course, Martin Truex Jr., more on him in a little bit on the podcast, in the 54 Stanley machine in Xfinity Series was the dominant car, but Allgaier has something to say about that, and then managed to hold Truex off late in that race, and Allgaier had a faster car late in the run, late in that race. Then he was better in the race here last weekend and slammed the door on his teammate Berry for the win. Second win, and guess what two of those tracks are? Those are tires that get worn out as the run goes on. And Allgaier won there again. Of course, Dover is, depending on this race today, or the tire combination anyways, at least, is you hear everybody saying you want a better race, you want a better tire wear on these tracks, and that's why you don't want to see a lot of people don't want to see including yours truly, Atlanta repaved and whatnot. Of course, you've seen it, a one groove racetrack. Darlington. You don't want to repave that. So I mean, you want to be old school, and that's what it is here in that instance. So Allgaier gets his second win of the season, his 16th in the Xfinity Series, the grandpa of the series, I like to call him. No offense, I know you're not grandpa age, but Justin Allgaier's been in this series. I've said this a long time on the podcast. He's been in the series a long time, and he hasn't gotten, obviously he had that 1 year in the Cup Series, but he really had with H. Scott Motorsports, in my memory. I believe that's correct. I think my memory is spot on that one. He had his 1 year there and kind of struggled a little bit up there. Obviously didn't have the equipment. Well, they then went back down to be, obviously you want to compete for wins and run in the top 10, top 5. So, right now, Allgaier, depending on what happens this afternoon in the Xfinity Series race, we'll see if we can back that up. Obviously, Allgaier gets around very good at Dover. He's going to be one of the top contenders over there. Obviously, you got to deal with Austin Cindric. Austin Cindric hit hard on that last lap there. Speaking of Noah Gregson obviously got reinstated, or actually his number one finish in the Dash for Cash got reinstated after originally, and this he was one of my lap traffic fantasy picks. He got disqualified for not passing post-tech. And then they appealed that penalty, and I think it was Thursday, either Wednesday or Thursday, folks, that got overturned. So that was big on Gregson's part. That was big on my part as well. So all of a sudden, for the first time since entering or playing Brandon Crowd's lap track fantasy game, I'm right there in the mix up there in the top 16 for probably the first time. Well, actually, I'm usually there in the first after the first race, first week, but after that I tail off a little bit. But here, all of a sudden I'm in the ball game a little bit here, so it feels good to be up there. It makes I'm gonna wait until obviously after this week to tell you guys where I finished that, because I don't want to jinx it at all. But I've done. I mean, it takes a lot of luck a little bit, but I've been pretty spot on picking the right winner. I could easily have two more, obviously, with either Blaney, the Martinsville screw up there, or the Kyle Larson failing to close out the deal there. But I know I've been pretty good. I mean, it takes a little luck and knowledge to play these games, but so far, I'm right there. So, I mean, the goal was to get beat in the Laptrack Fantasy Playoffs. That was the goal. That was the goal going in there. And I'm right there. And hopefully we'll finish strong. I got picks for this week as well. And again, should I share that information or no? I'm not. I'm going to keep that on the wraps a little bit. But I did pick Gregson last week at Darlington. Did pretty well. I picked the winner of the Cup Series, my guy, last week there. Because I had him left there, and I picked John Hunter Nemechek there. He finished in the top 10 there. He could have won the race there. And oh, by the way, yours truly got tied for week high, if I'm not mistaken, there as well. So, done pretty well for myself. Yeah, sorry, y'all, a little on a tangent here in the podcast coming off the Xfinity series, but I just want to get that out there a little bit. So, yours truly's right there in the win as well. So, going back to the all guy here real quick before we run down this top 10, obviously, before we get into Cup Series here. Again, this is kind of be a shortened show today. Obviously, got a lot going on this weekend, recording it on this. Turns out to be a pretty decent morning here in Manhattan, Kansas. Sun's about to pop out outside my basement here as I do this podcast. But yeah, absolutely, Allgaier, they did not have the best car, obviously. And again, Jason Burdett, you go into a run knowing that, you work on your car, you have a chance to get it better, and that's what you have to do. And that's what seems to be their strength is so far here in 2021. I mean, the 17 keeps getting better and better on the long run. And it's definitely going to be interesting enough to see, what today holds there. And obviously, can Allgaier make it back-to-back? We'll have to find out here this afternoon as the Xfinity Series will be taking place here in just a couple of hours. Here, Brandon Jones finished third. I mean, I talked about this last week. Brandon Jones needed a strong run. at the worst way, he got it, and he came on strong late. He was right. He was outside or just on the tab into the top 10 most of the day. And all of a sudden, again, the 19's right there in the mix. He finished third. I talked about Noah Gregson already. Daniel Hemric finished fifth there. And Daniel Hemric, we already know, Daniel, that you have a chance. You have a good, that's once you get in that victory and finally get the checkered flag, it could be the day. It's going to be a big celebration for him, because he has still yet to crack. I mean, he's been fast. He's been fast in the Xfinity Series this year. Obviously, this was his best chance, ladies and gentlemen, to get into victory lane. Victory lane is still out there, that's for sure. He could get there today. I have another opportunity today in the Xfinity Series. We'll see what happens there with him on that. He finished fifth there. Jeremy Kmetz, Michael Annette, Brett Moffitt, Ryan Sieg, Alex LeBay, and Harrison Burton rounding out the top 10 right there in the Xfinity Series. Again, as I switch screens here, Xfinity Series will be taking place here. This podcast will be out 12:30. Well, the podcast will be out tomorrow. The race for the Xfinity Series we'll start at 12:30. 12:30 Central Time, Dover International, the Driving 200, and I'll run down this top 10, starting top 10 here after we come out of this break, short break here, Justin Allgaier winning his second race here in 2021.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Standings after Darlington. Obviously, this will change when the podcast rolls out tomorrow morning. But for right now, this is how we're going to roll with. Austin Cindric lost his big cushion a little bit after a huge wreck in the final laps of the race there. And there were, and speaking of that here, before that big hit by Cindric there, there's a controversial caution there prior to that there. I believe... I want to say, who was leading at that point, at that time? I want to say Gregson was. I want to say Noah Gregson was, because obviously he checked out there, and there was a one car spin, and he corrected it. I can't remember which car, well, I can't remember who it was that spun out off of turn two, and then actually turn one, and gathered it back up, and then NASCAR decided to throw a caution there. I did not like that particular caution there at all. He corrected it back. You see it most times that car like that that corrects it, they don't throw a caution, and all of a sudden this car does the same exact thing, loses it off of turn one, corrects it, and NASCAR decides to throw a caution there. Did not like that particular caution at all. And there's been some other podcasts that I listened to, obviously, that had their issues with with cautions. In this one, I didn't like this one. This one, I mean, even though it, I mean, yes, still you had, you still had Allgaier win the race, but, or at least one of Junior Motorsports cars win the race there. I believe Josh Berry was leading late there, and then Allgaier took a, I mean, either way, though, still, though, the point of it is there, I mean, you have to know what the difference is between actual caution and not there. And I thought there that was a bad break right there, because they could have kept that things moving along. Instead, a little spin, and let's just throw a little caution to throw out the wind there. So that was unfortunate there on that thing. I did not like that caution one bit. Just to continue here with the standings. Here, of course, it's going to change here. Like I said it for the millionth time already on the podcast. Harrison Burton is third now. AJ Allmendinger, Jeb Burton, and we have some news on Justin Haley here as I'm recording this podcast prior to the Xfinity Dover race here in a few hours. Yeah, Allmendinger and Burton around the top five there, and though they could possibly switch depending on where they finish later on this afternoon in the Dryden 200. Justin Haley, what a bad break. And, you know, I've heard a snippet of one of the newscasts, I believe, saying that about the pandemic. I didn't particularly hear what was going on there. But Justin Haley, you got to go back to Jimmy Johnson, Austin Dillon last year, getting hit with the COVID situation there. And Justin Haley has no wins to this point, and he... unfortunately, got the COVID for him. He's going to have to miss today's race as well. Boy, bad break for this young man there. He was supposed to run the cup race also for tomorrow. He is not. This is kind of breaking news on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III here with you on this chill Saturday morning as I record this podcast. But yeah. That's a bad break for them. That's unfortunate, because obviously with the vaccines coming out and whatnot, you're still having people getting hit with the COVID situation. So that, I mean, I don't know what his situation was, and I don't want to take no stab at it whatnot. But hey, I mean, he's gonna have to sit out this race. That's unfortunate for him. And Zane Smith is his replacement this afternoon in the Dryden 200. So, and this is going to be, I believe this is going to be Zane Smith's first Xfinity Series start. Unfortunately, it comes at a fortunate time, situation. But Zane Smith, obviously, and remember, Zane Smith, he won at Dover last year in the Truck Series race. So he can get around here pretty good, and it'll be interesting to see how well he does. It's going to be his first. There's going to be some challenges along the way for him, but we know those collie cars, they're going to be pretty competitive. So we'll have to pay attention to that, obviously. We'll know when this podcast rolls out where he will finish in the race. So Zane Smith will be taking over Justin Haley this week in the Xfinity Series race later on this afternoon. Speaking of which, before we talk Martin Truex Jr. here to close out the podcast here, the starting lineup tonight or this afternoon for this race, if my screen can move itself over, the lineup's already out, obviously. Daniel Hemric and Justin Allgaier will lead the field to green. Noah Gregson will roll off third this afternoon. Brandon Jones, Harrison Burton, that's your starting five. The impressive Josh Berry will start at sixth. Adrian Allmendinger, seventh. Jeremy Kmetz, eighth. Zane Smith in for Justin Haley again, folks, who got hit with COVID this week, will start ninth. Brett Moffitt will start in the 10th position. Some notables here: Jeb Burton will roll off 13th here. Michael Annette, two spots ahead of him, start 11th. Mike Steiner, the Homestead winner, 15th. Austin Cindric, he'll have to come from 16th this afternoon there. There's a lot of rumblings about, oh, before I get to this, who's starting 20th, Brandon Brown will start 19th. And here, just to kind of put a buck on the Xfinity Series here, Riley Hurst, there's a lot of grumblings around that car and him, but particularly needing to step up his game. Obviously, he was running what inside the top 12 at Darlington last week there. I mean, yeah, this is a champion, and I totally agree with some of the NASCAR folks out there. This is a car that went to the championship and won, what, 9 races a year ago with Chase Briscoe, who's running Cup Series now for Stewart Haas Racing. And we know Stewart Haas Racing going through some growing pains, not only in the Xfinity Series, but in the Cup Series as well. So, that's rough. That's rough right there. You mean Riley Hurst? I mean, there's a lot of people that saying I was a little bit surprised about this move going in here, and the way that he performed in the 18 car for Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, there are some good rate runs in there, but at the same time, you know, you gotta perform. And there's starting to be a lot of grumblings around Riley Hurst in the 98. If you're not performing, this was a championship caliber team last year, and I don't have the playoff points, this playoff situation in front of me right now. We ain't gonna get too much into it because I want to get talk Cup a little bit here for y'all, because this is gonna be up tomorrow morning. So this is kind of be a preview, the Cup Series race tomorrow. But you can't. I mean, it's gonna be rough if this continues for him. It's gonna be a long summer for this 98 of Riley Hurst, that's for sure. So we'll see. We'll have to pay attention to see. But he's gonna be rolling off 20th this afternoon there. So we'll have to see what happens with him and his situation here as we get closer to the summer stretch here. We're gonna take a step aside here, folks, of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Here for a bit, and when we come back to the show here, I'm gonna play some music here for a bit. When we come back on the other side of that here, Martin Truex Jr. And I'm gonna have my say, obviously, very very pumped that he won again at Darlington. Absolute butt kicking there at Darlington last weekend as well. So I'm gonna talk about that, and I have another saying here as we get ready for racing at Darlington. This is the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. We're coming back after this time out. Wide NASCAR Podcast with EJ3 is back. 80 degree to third here in Manhattan. Kids recording on the Saturday morning, folks, here as we get ready for racing at Dover this weekend here in a few hours for the Xfinity Series, obviously, in the first half of the show. And now, here for a little bit, talk about the Cup Series race that went down last week. Obviously, you know, my guy kicked absolute, he kicked everybody's butt. In the words of Martin Truex Jr. and James Small, they kicked everybody's ass, and that's what it was. And I was kind of a little fairly, and I'm not talking about the race specifically, I'm talking about the people reaction from what from after the race. People seemed like they were stunned at what Martin Truex Jr. did. I mean, this is not the first this is not the first time that Martin's put the hammer down on this is not the first time that he's done that. I mean, he's done this multiple times now. Obviously, you know, it should be, I mean, his win total should be more than what it is. But obviously, I'm not going to complain too much about that. Obviously, so there's that as well. But I thought a lot of people seemed taking a little stunned at what he did. Obviously, and I was a bit stunned by that. I mean, this is not the first time that he's done this. I mean, we've seen this. I mean, it's not Martin Truex Jr. We've seen it from Kyle Larson, but obviously he didn't close the deal, and Kyle Larson almost spoiled the party there last weekend. But he used the stuff up there trying to catch Martin. Either that, or Martin was toying with him there through lap traffic, and you don't want to get me started with all that. With all the lap traffic mess and well, with all that, what all went down with that. But you know, and we've seen some dominant performances this year, obviously, and not get closed out. Obviously, again, calling Kyle Larson out for one, and then two, Blaney, Martinsville, as well. So we've seen that type of performance too, as well. So I mean. You on that side of the front as well. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. So there we go. Okay, I'm double doing here. So I'm trying to get this situated here. All right. So there we go. All right. So now. All right. So that got that squared away. All right. So so Martin Truex Jr. in the matte black Auto Owners Toyota puts an ass kicking on the rest of the field there, and reminiscence, and no, he did not lead. He did not lead all the laps, but he led probably 80% of them. And you know, we've seen this, and I was completely stunned. Speaking of being stunned, yeah, I was stunned at what he did, and still stunned at what he did a few years ago when he was at Furniture Row Racing, in an absolute dominant. All caps, dominant performance, one of the most, probably dominant, if not the most dominant performance in NASCAR history, the Coke 600, leading all but, what, six laps or something like that, eight laps, something like that, remember correctly there, leading from wire to wire there, and he had to hold off a pesky Jimmy Johnson, somebody from Hendrick Motorsports, if I remember correctly there. I know it was Jimmy Johnson. I think he had to hold off Jimmy Johnson or whatever. He was trying to close the gap or whatever. But Martin, he just had a memorable car there. He had a memorable car here, and from the Daytona Road Course preseason race. They were fast last year, and I've said this over and over again here on previous moments on the podcast, but. For the word go, they have been fast for all year long, and I can't see why continue. And you know, I talked about this in the summer. A couple of people brought it up. I mean, they thought, yeah, you know, Chase, and this refers to Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott has not won a race. Denny Hamlin, for all what he's done, still ain't won a race yet. Kevin Harvick, the big three. Oh, I'm bringing that up again. The big three. Haven't won a race yet. The three dominant cars last year. Well, you want to put it the 1-2 punch, and then you throw Chase Elliott in there as the third car. The reigning champ ain't won nothing yet. So, which is And with the Harvick struggles and whatnot, Harvick ran pretty good at Darlington last week. So that team was up front, running in the top 10 majority of the race there. Denny Hamlin there was there in contention in 1911 there. Once again, were top of the heap. Then you had the Kyle Larson car started off, and then and Kyle turned the wick on in stage three and nearly ran Truex down, but he ran out of stuff left there as Truex turned it up another gear. There he just stretched out even more late there to close the deal on Kyle Larson in the rest of the field. So you guys should not be shocked now. Obviously, different crew chief on the pit box there, a Colburn clone, if you will, Jay Small. And Jay Small has really improved from year one to year two with Martin there. So, I mean, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to improve these cars? I mean, you got the next-gen car next year. But what are you going to do to them now? I mean, not a damn thing. I mean, what's going to matter? Because next year, you're going to be running all y'all, all manufactured, the different manufacturers, Toyota, Ford. Oh, by the way, all three of those manufacturers came out with their new brand of the next-gen for next year last week. I might have mentioned that or not. I'm not really sure, but I'm going to bring it up again anyways. So why does it matter? Why are you going to add more stuff anyways when this is not going to be useful? Why? or unless you're a playoff team that you're going to try to make a run to get to the Final Four later on this year. Why are you going to worry about that? I mean, that's not necessary. Especially with the new car coming out for next year. I mean, why are you going to change stuff now? I mean, you just leave it alone. I mean, I have an issue with that just by itself. I mean, why are you going to mess with stuff if, I mean, we're not going to use it anyway? What's the point of it anyway? So, I mean, is this car one car dominant? I mean, we're trying to change stuff up. I mean, you guys are going to go to a new car next year. You guys are continuing to work on a new car, putting all this effort into the next-gen car. What are we doing? I mean, what are we doing here? So, I mean, this car, one car. A little aggravating to me. I mean, why are we going to change tire packages? Why are we going to do this and that if we're going to put all this effort into next year and we're trying to make the racing better? Hey, look. I mean, I thought the racing was good. Yeah, I mean, whether my driver wins or not, I still think the race was pretty good up front. I mean, Truex was on another planet. And before I got on a little tangent there, I lost. Okay, yeah. I mean, everybody. Okay, now back to what I was originally saying. Okay, so Chase Elliott, I mean, everybody's saying he was going to win seven races. He's been dominant in road courses, and he has been. But look at the other side of the coin. Martin Truex, if I'm the rest of the field, I'm including Joe Gibbs Racing teammates, I'm a little scared. Because look at the stretch of races coming here. This includes a summer stretch here. I'm going to reel them off here today or tomorrow if you listen to this podcast, whatever. Dover, Dryden 400, tomorrow, where Martin Truex Jr. has won at this racetrack, what, three times? Circuit of Americas, next week, road course. Chase Elliott tested there. Brad Keselowski tested there. Who else tested there? Martin Truex Jr., was right there with them boys, tested with them. You want your best road course drivers testing at those places like that. He's going to be a factor in that. Charlotte, I just brought up the Coke 600. I just brought that up where he's been absolutely a stud, especially in this race particularly. He's been a stud when it comes to Charlotte Motor Speedway in this particular race, the Coca-Cola 600. Then you flip the script. All right, I'm going to reel off. Well, actually, I'm going to stop right there because obviously June 13th is the Texas All-Star event. The open and the All-Star race there, which we'll talk about that when I come back from vacation. But anyways, later on this month. But Sonoma, where Martin Truex Jr. is one there. This is a dangerous stretch here coming up here. And I wouldn't put it past him that he might win another race in that stretch now. He might win at least one more race in this stretch here. Dover, Coda, Charlotte, Sonoma. Four in a row, 4 weeks in a row, and that's bad. That's bad for the rest of the competition. You get somebody like that who's been fast right from the jump. You know, I'm actually excited for Sonoma. I'm excited for that race anyways. But anyways, yeah, that's a dangerous stretch there. Yes, you have your Chase Elliott's and whatnot. Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch and whatnot. But right now, Denny Hamlin, you know, he's been fast, but he's made us. I believe he got caught speeding on his pit road last weekend. But Kyle Larson did the same thing as well. So yeah, I mean, this is a tremendous stretch of races here for Truex to possibly get another win and thrown in there. And yep, Truex, he's the only guy. We're in mid-May. He's the only guy that's won double-digit wins. More than one win this year. That's saying something right there. He has, what, 18 playoff points. The next one, I think, is Kyle Larson with 8 or 9. Again, I don't have the sheet in front of me. So, I mean, Kyle Larson's been dominant, been rolling too this year as well. So, you got him in there. You throw Denny Hamlin in there, even with no wins in there, factoring in the equation. I mean, Denny Hamlin could win tomorrow too. So, who and Kyle Larson, passed over winner as well. We could see the same format in there. Kyle Busch, you know, as well. I mean, Kevin Harvick's been dominant at Dover too. So, you got all those guys that just reeled off. Have an opportunity. That is not what I want there. as I switch it back a little bit right there. So, but yeah, I mean, this is a dangerous stretch in a good way for Truex here. A lot of good tracks coming up for the rest of the month, right into June, with the Sonoma race out there, return with fans as well. And oh, by the way, there's from Jeff Gluck yesterday or early this week, Kansas is one of them. They're going back to fans are going back. Tracks are announcing that fans are going back to 100% capacity. Yes. Yes, indeed, baby. Going back to 100%. So when I go back to Kansas in the fall for the playoff race, folks, it possibly could be a bigger crowd on hand for sure. So 100% capacity, folks. I believe there's one of them. And I'm going to have to scroll through here. There are two more tracks on that list that also are going back to 100% capacity as well. That was broken in the news. There you go. That was going back to news as well. I'm going to throw this in here, folks. We're going to get the top 10 as the music was playing there while I cut it down. My bad. So, all right. So, I'm going to throw this in here real quick, y'all. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, the Darlington and Dover edition of the podcast.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
MTJ started 4th and finished 1st in the race, led over 200 laps in another dominant performance by this MTJ Martin Truex Jr. squad. And it just brought back to the old Furniture Road days. I mean, kicking everybody's ass, leaving them in the dust, and playing with Kyle Larson late. And we might end up seeing another battle like that tomorrow or today, depending on when you listen to this podcast. This podcast will be out tomorrow, so today. So we might see another one of those battles up there in the front later on today. So we'll see what happens on that front there as well. Larson finished 2nd. I already mentioned him. Kyle Busch off the Kansas win. He's 3rd. He finished 3rd. William Byron. I did not know this to come across this earlier this week. William Byron's on a run. William Byron just collected his 10th straight top 10 finish. This has got on the radar a little bit here. William Byron, the 24 car, 10 straight top 10. He's got a chance to break a streak there that was with Jeff Gordon and somebody else that I read an article on NASCAR.com. I can't remember who the other driver was. But yeah, absolutely. That's just impressive. And obviously, Rudy Fugel and William Byron have a relationship going back to the truck series for Kyle Busch Motorsports. So this is something we gotta pay attention to. He's on this was Eric Almirola last year, where he went on a run of what, a double digit mark before eventually got cut, got what's the word I'm looking for? Got broken down the line, but William Byron, very consistent, fourth, and he'll look for another top 10 finish and maybe contend for a win at Dover later on this afternoon. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Kevin Harvick, sixth. Chase Elliott finished seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. A shout out to Chris Buescher finished ninth. Roush Racing back into this top 10. Chris Buescher and Ryan Newman finished 9th and 10th, respectively. Shout out to Roush Racing on a 3-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And I already gave Martin Truex Jr. The EG3 helmet sticker. Well, this is going to be, actually, you know, I'm going to hold that thought there before we close out the podcast as well. So, Roush Racing getting it done. There are some notables here. Tyler Reddick was up there early on this race there with a nice old-school paint scheme. He finished 12th. And how about Chase Briscoe ahead of him? Finished 11th. Great job by the 14 car there. A Briscoe, who won at Dover Nix Xfinity Series a year ago. Logano finished 13th. Christopher Bell, 14th. Ross Chastain finished 15th. Some other notables here. Eric Jones does not keep his top 10 streak going there. He was at one point there flirting with it. That was an impressive move run there by the 43, but he fell back late. To finish 18th, Matt DiBenedetto 19th. There, let's see. Now, Brad Keselowski was a surprise. Keselowski, who started on pole for the race, Keselowski finished 24th in this race. Not a great performance there, but at two car there on that front. And then we go to the back of this finishing order from the Steakhouse Elite. Not the Steakhouse Elite. The Goodyear 400, I don't know where I got that from. I must have got it from another race. But pay attention to 35th and 37th here. In between Cole, working around Cole Custer, who wrecked hard and finished 36th, right? Kurt Busch, his bad luck continues. 35th. And Eric Almirola, the first car out, not even 10 laps in the race, gets taken out by the Stenhouse car. 37 for Almirola. Yeah, they need a win to get in the postseason. Kurt Busch, I don't know where he stands right now, as I'm going to flip my laptop over to those standings right now. Denny Hamlin is still leading in the regular season in that front, obviously by 75. So that really doesn't matter to this point there, but we flip it to the other screen now. At this point, yeah. Not good. Eric Almirola, 28th in points right now. When you flip it to the playoff points anyways, Eric Almirola, deep in the field, 28th. Yeah, you're going to need a win to get yourself in. Kurt Busch, he's got some little work to do, but it's probably doable. 28th from the cut line right now to Austin Dillon. That's where we're looking at, and RCR has to last two spots right now if the playoffs were to start today. Tyler Reddick, Austin Dillon holding on to those spots right now. This thing is getting interesting. Kurt Busch, a big name. Bubba Wallace, everybody thought he was going to be in playoff contention there. Seeing there. Newman, Matt DiBenedetto. Actually, there's a Matt DiBenedetto smelling something right there after his run. The recent run of top 10s there coming to an end last weekend. So, DiBenedetto fell out of the top 16 there. So, it's going to be, once we hit June, once we hit Sonoma, it's going to get really interesting still. You're going to have multiple layouts of tracks. And I just reeled off interesting stretch there today. Dover, next weekend, road course at COTA, the opening event at COTA. Charlotte, mile and a half. Sonoma road course, yeah. So that's it. You're getting a short track road course, a mile and a half, and another road course. That's two. So half of the stretch is going to be filled with road courses in there. So this could get really, really interesting really quick. Hey, you better gather up stage points, because that's the name of the game. Stage points is the name of the game for these guys. And a couple of big names, they're in trouble. They could be in trouble right there, especially Stewart Haas Racing continuing to struggle. Now, Kevin Harvick had a strong run last week, but yeah, they're going to need something to happen here if they're going to get themselves back up the feet here. Dry Dean 400 today. As I switch my mode today here, real quick. Here, this is the 3-Watt NASCAR Bicycles EG3, Eddie Gritter III. Appreciate y'all for downloading, listening to this podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Y'all know the deal is there. As I'm looking at Brad Keselowski's nice black and red paint scheme for today. The starting lineup, Martin Truex Jr., and you're giving the red hot guy, MTJ, the pole position there. So it's going to be interesting there. Joe Gibbs Racing will lead the field to green. Denny Hamlin will roll off second there. So we're going to find out real fast which one of these cars is going to be the car to beat. Hendrick Motorsports might have something to say about that. They could occupy row two. William Byron, Kyle Larson. Kevin Harvick will start fifth. Outside of him, Kyle Busch. Ryan Blaney. Chase Elliott. Row four. Row five will have Joey Logano and Chris Buescher in the 10th spot. Christian Bell is somebody going to need to pay attention to today. He starts 11th. Tyler Reddick will start 12th in row number 6. Row 7 will have Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon, Brad Keselowski, Alex Bowman. Row 8. Row 9 has Chase Briscoe, Matt DiBenedetto. And row 10 will have Ross Chastain and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Some notables here. Daytona 500 winner Michael McDowell starts 21st. There for him. Let's see down here. Whoop. Kurt Busch starts 28th. Josh Berry, who replacing Justin Haley, which I talked about in the first half of the podcast. Justin Haley hit with COVID this weekend. He can't race. So Josh Berry doing double duty this weekend. So when his podcast rolls out, we'll know where he finished in the Xfinity Series race. He will start 29th there. Cole Custer off the bad wreck will start 30th. And my last notable, Eric Almirola, he'll have to charge, well, like he did last week. He was charging through the field until he ran into that Stenhouse car. Almirola starts 32nd. That's your look at the race later on Sunday afternoon, which will be today when this podcast rolls out for the Dry Dean 400. Eddie Gritter III. Appreciate y'all for listening to 3-Watt NASCAR Podcast EG3. Few more minutes here before we roll out for some racing today as well here. Looking down, seeing what I can look at here. Yeah, so I wanted to touch on this William Byron here real quick. I mentioned that I did not remember the other person here. Real quick before I get to my EG3 helmet sticker of the week, and I'm gonna go straight towards that because I don't have any honorable mentions at this point. But anyways, real fast. William Byron, 10 race winning streak. It goes back to his first win at Homestead where we thought he was in trouble. We thought he was in trouble. I mean, this was a critical year for Byron overall, really, to get himself going. And that win started this streak. You got to go back to February, late February. William Byron's win at the 28th there. And he joined some awesome company in this here, actually. Ooh, wait a minute. Yeah. So there's some, he's joined some company here. Tim Flock had a 10 race stretch. You got to go back all the way back to 1951. There, his streak ended in the first week of July. Richard Petty had a 10 race winning streak. Not winning streak, 10 top 10 streak. But it ended in June of 1964. Down here, Richard Petty again did it again a year prior to that. He had an 11 race top 10 winning streak there. Terry Labonte also had a 10 race top 10 streak going in 1982. Got broken up in mid-April of 82. Joey Logano, going back to 2015, had an 11 race streak of a top 10 performance. His streak ended in the postseason in October of 15. Richard Petty again, two more years earlier than that. So Richard Petty's on here three times. Jeff Gordon 14 race top 10 streak ended in October of 95, and William Byron right there still has not, still going, so William Byron will have a chance this afternoon to make it 11 straight. That would be impressive if he can get that. I believe Almirola had a streak closer to that, I think. Was it 8? He had a streak closer to 10, I think. But he fell short of double digits, I think, in that matter. So, be interesting to see that. So, keep an eye on that for sure. On that, William Byron, somebody keep an eye on for that. Obviously, the Joe Gibbs Racing. Can Denny Hamlin get off the goose egg for the win there? Kyle Larson's going to be, you know, he'll be up there right there in the mix. Martin Truex Jr., can he keep things rolling along? We'll have to see about that. Christopher Bell is kind of my sleeper today. I think he's going to do well. He can get around here pretty good. So he's in good equipment. So I think he'll have an opportunity to do very well this afternoon as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. The EG3 Helmet Sticker of the Week. And I'm going to get right to the point of this as my computer decides to lock up. As we get ready to close the podcast. Appreciate y'all for listening to this podcast this morning. As I get ready to close out the episode here, obviously, as well. I mentioned them. I kind of already gave it away. So you guys should know who it is. It's not Martin Truex Jr. It's not him. I'm impressed this year with this Ross Racing team. Chris Buescher winning a stage at Homestead and getting another run. Had another good run earlier this year and getting in top 10 finish. We might need to start paying attention more to this. Obviously, the rise of RCR, which is good. It's good. It's good to see these teams rise to the occasion. We've been paying much attention to RCR, but guys, we need to start paying attention who more just Ross Fenway Racing team. Both cars in one of those cars. Ryan Newman was my random fantasy pick last week, so that was good for him. And today I have a crappy pick, unfortunately. Quinn Half. But anyways, Ross Fenway Racing, EG3 helmet sticker of the week. Two cars in the top 10, 9 and 10. And I didn't realize Newman. I thought Newman was 12th, but I didn't realize he was running the top 10 there as Truex was clicking cars off one by one all day long. Chris Buescher up there after the bad break in Kansas. I mean, he got the bad end of the stick of that one, trying to stay out. And then, you know, the whole tire situation changed the deal there. But gets rewarded, 9 and 10. Great job by that team there, that organization there, finishing 9th and 10th. So that team, we got to start paying much more attention to that team. That team's turning around. Obviously, Ryan Newman had a great run at the Bristol Dirt earlier this year as well. So, I mean, this team putting out some impressive finishes this year here in 2021. So, but to come to lead us into racing here this afternoon, Dover Speedway here, the Monster Mile. Who is going to conquer the Monster this weekend? Tune in to, I believe, FS1. I did not mention the races or where to tune in at here real quick. So I am going to mention those real quick. Tune in to MRN and FS1 for both coverages of the races today and tomorrow as we get going on the Monster here. But just close out the EG3 3Wide NASCAR podcast today. Ross Fenway Racing on the heels of both of the cars finishing in the top 10, 9th and 10th. Ross Fenway Racing, get the EG3 helmet sticker of the week.
listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going three wide.